Open our eyes, O God, that we may hear your word, and that word will influence our lives. Open our lips, that we may speak only that which is pleasing to you, words that build up each other. Open our hearts, O God, that we may experience your grace, and that grace will be sufficient for us. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I preach you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our theme in the parish this year is discipleship, treasuring God's creation. As you would recall, treasuring God's creation is the fifth mark of mission of our church. And it has become extremely important as disciples of Christ in today's world that we become aware of the result of our abuse, misuse, and destruction of God's creation has brought upon us. You simply have to listen to the news, the international news, and hear about the destruction of the fires in Australia. 2 billion acres of forest has been destroyed. It's almost mind-boggling to imagine that. 120,000 homes and counting have been destroyed by fire, all as a result of our misuse of God's word. In the Caribbean, we have had Hurricane Dorian and Karen, and the scientists tell us that they too, all these natural disasters, are as a result of our abuse and misuse of God's creation. So if we are to be true to our discipleship in today's world, then we must take this seriously and reflect on what the scripture tells us about God's creation and strive in our own way and wherever we are to make a difference. We might believe it is a small difference, but small differences add up. And so this year we're inviting the parish to reflect on ways in which, as disciples of Christ today, we could treasure God's creation. And our theme for this month is light and darkness, as we strive to follow the sequence of events that are described for us in the book of Genesis, as God brought this world and this universe into being. And as I reflected on this theme of light and darkness and the whole business of creation, we can't help but recognize that human beings represent the high point of God's creation. It was after creating the world and the land and the sea and the plants and the animals that God said, "Let us make humankind in our own image." And so the high point of God's creation would be human beings. And the psalmist affirms this in Psalm 8 when he asks the question, "What is man that you should be mindful of him? And the son of man that you should seek him out?" And the psalmist responds to his own questions by saying, "You have made him but little lower than the angels, and adorn him with glory and honor. So we are the high point of God's creation. And if we think about it, the most valuable aspect of God's creation is the human baby. God creates every child individually and lovingly. And God presents these children to us and gives us the responsibility of bringing them up in the world. To know God, because you must know your Creator, you must know from whence you came. And of course, in our context, to love God and acknowledge God through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the responsibility of all parents. In fact, it is the responsibility of all adults. For whether the child is yours or not, if you understand your role as a disciple of Christ, then you have a responsibility to set an example for God's children so that they will grow up to know God and to love God and God's Son, Jesus Christ, and to fulfill God's purpose for them in the world. And those who are parents would acknowledge that the activity of bringing up a child as a parent is not an easy task, especially in today's environment, where there are so many distractions. There are so many things that are competing for children's attention and our attention. And if we are not careful, we will neglect the most important aspects of their upbringing. And so as Christian people, we need to look at the example given to us as parents by Mary and Joseph. And the Gospel of Luke traces some of the events in their lives. And certainly, if we reflect on them carefully and prayerfully, they could help us in our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as adults, in the church and in the community. The circumstances of Jesus' birth were extremely difficult for Mary and Joseph. Here was Joseph engaged to Mary, only to be told that she was with the child of the Holy Spirit. And what was Joseph's response? How was Joseph able to respond in the way he did? He didn't make a scandal. He decided to break the engagement privately. But of course, with his background and his relationship with his God in the covenant to which he belonged as a descendant of Abraham, Joseph was able to recognize that the angel that appeared to him was a messenger from God, and that God had a very special task for him. And so he was invited not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, for the child to be born would be the Son of God, and save his people from their sin. And so even in those circumstances, Joseph would be obedient to the heavenly messenger. We must always bear in mind, you know, that in God's love, God always gives us a choice. Joseph could have said no. He didn't, because he was nurtured in his faith and he had a relationship with God. So he said yes to the angel. And so did Mary. Mary was surprised and perplexed when she was faced with the fact that she was to be the mother of the one who would be holy and who would be called the Son of God. But again, because of that foundation of her faith with which she was brought up, Mary would submit herself to God's will, even though it would be a situation that would cause embarrassment and discomfort to her. She said yes to God. "Here I am, the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you will." And when we read the Gospel of Luke, Luke points out that Mary and Joseph received this gift of God's child and ensured that he was brought up in the tradition and in the kind of relationship with God that they had. They did everything that their faith required. They brought up Jesus in the social, cultural, and more important, the religious traditions of his parents, his earthly parents, and his forefathers. If their faith was good enough for them, it would be good enough for this special child of God. So that when Jesus was 8 days old, he was taken to the temple and circumcised and given his name. He was made a part of the covenant people of God because his parents believed. 40 days after his birth, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple, where Mary would go through the rite of purification that was prescribed by the law. And Jesus would be presented in the temple so that he could be redeemed, being the firstborn male in the family. And as Mary and Joseph did what they believed was necessary for their child, it gave them the opportunity through Simeon and Anna to hear more about his plan, God's plan for Jesus. He was to be the light to the Gentiles. He was to save his people from their sin. And notice in our gospel for today, every year, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem, to the temple, to celebrate the festival of the Passover. Every year. because they knew it was necessary for him to understand what the temple was there for, who you would find there. It was important for him to understand the history of his people and the importance of this Passover festival, because that was the beginning of the liberation of the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. The night when the angel of death passed through the house of the Egyptians and killed every firstborn male, human and animal. And where that night the children of Israel were saved from death because the angel of death passed over their homes. The angel of death did not enter the homes of the Israelites because they followed the instructions of Moses. Mary and Joseph would ensure that Jesus understood about this covenant and this relationship, this special relationship that he was to have and the children of Israel and his ancestors before him had with God. And so by the time Jesus was 12 years old, he was familiar with the temple. And of course, by 12 years old, he had all these questions to ask. And because he was there every year, he could sit with the teachers and he could ask them questions and listen to their responses and perhaps challenge them as well, because he was familiar. And you know, people question his response. But Jesus was kind of not understanding why his parents was looking all about for him in Jerusalem for 3 days when they should have known where to find him. Because of their upbringing, they should have understood that the only place he could be is in the temple, because they took him there every year. And they would have seen the way that he would have responded, and they probably would have heard too at home the questions that he had. So that's why he could say, "Did you know that I will be in my father's house? That's where I will find out about my faith. That's where I would come to a better understanding of myself. That's where I would go in my relationship with the Heavenly Father." And so Mary and Joseph did what they had to do to bring Jesus up to fulfill God's purpose for him. And notice what Luke says. He grew in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. He grew in years. As the years passed, of course, he would get older, but he would mature as an individual. And he would not only mature physically, but he would mature emotionally and, more important, spiritually. They did not neglect his spiritual upbringing. And that is the mistake that so many parents make today. In fact, we have some parents who say, leave them, man. When they get big, they will decide what they want to follow for themselves. The book of Proverbs says, teach a child the way he or she should go, and when she is old, they will not depart from it. It is our responsibility as parents, grandparents, adults in the church and the community to ensure that every gift that God gives us Every child that God gives us goes up to know God and to love God in God's Son, Jesus Christ. They may not follow it with the intensity and the affection and commitment that we would like, but unless we plant the seed of faith, there is no faith that will grow there. And they will be followers of the world rather than children of God. And they were created to be children of God. And we have to understand that it is the parent who sets the standard for the child, not the other way around, as seems to happen in these days. And so, because as adults we have the experience of life, and of course, because as adults we should be striving to develop our own relationship with God, we must recognize that we have to nurture God's children. They are valuable to God. God has a plan and a purpose for each child. And God's plan for someone is not that they die at the side of the road with 12 bullets, or that they pick up a gun and shoot people indiscriminately. God has a higher purpose for the high point of God's creation. And we have to accept the responsibility for bringing up God's gift to us. And we must understand that when God gives you a task, God gives you the gifts and graces that you need to do the task. However, we also have to bear in mind that one day we will have to give an account to God for how well or otherwise we have done the task of parenting. Whether you are actual parent or an adopted parent, or just accepting your responsibility as an adult to God's children. And you know, we have gotten to the stage where we feel that we can't correct a child because what the parent will say. You cannot stand by and see God's children going astray and say nothing. That is not the role of a disciple. When you accept the role of a disciple, you accept to take risk, to live dangerously. Jesus says it, you know, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And what is the cross? Yes, it started out as an instrument of death. Yes, it has become a symbol of hope, but it started off as an instrument of death. Disciples of Christ must be prepared to take risks. When God asks you, why did you allow that child to go without giving them or sharing your wisdom with them? What are you going to say? Because I was afraid of the parent? That's a cop-out. That means we're not serious about looking after God's children. It means we're not taking our responsibility as adults in the church and in the community. And so we have to understand that that is part of our role as disciples of Christ. Let the children come to me, he said. Do not hinder them. And we could hinder them in a variety of ways. We could hinder them by allowing them to sleep and not come to church on a Sunday morning. We could hinder them by not having family worship in our homes. We could hinder them by not helping them to understand that they are called to have a relationship with God. We can hinder them by not teaching them how to pray, to speak to God and to listen. We could hinder them by not giving them proper examples of the way they should live and relate to others. And of course, if we hinder them, we would have to account to God for why we have done this. And so it is important for us as we strive to treasure God's creation, to strive to help God's children, like Jesus, to grow in wisdom. And wisdom truly is to go with a knowledge and understanding of God so that they can have a relationship with this great and awesome God who created them. And they could grow up to understand that they have a place in God's world and they have a purpose to fulfill. And that God, through the Holy Spirit, will guide them so that they are able to fulfill that purpose. We not only have the responsibility of helping them to grow physically and emotionally stable, we have to ensure that they grow spiritually so that they have a relationship with God and they recognize the gifts that God has given them. They acknowledge God as their Father and see themselves as God's children, and they do whatever they are called to do to the honor and glory of God. The Lord be with you.